The title of the message today is The Return of Christ. Would you please say that out loud? Say the return of Christ. And the subtitle today is Signs of the Times. I want to take a few minutes today and just begin to talk about some of the signs of our times, but we want to focus on the return of Christ. I want to begin with Acts chapter 1 and verses 6 to 11. Here's what the scripture says. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Would you please say the return of Christ? You know, from the close of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, there were about 400 years. Scholars call it the silent years, because as the Old Testament closed, there wasn't any communication from the Lord to his people through the written word. And so they call them the silent years. 400, can you imagine? And yet people were still holding on and believing that the Messiah was coming. And many people miss the first coming of the Messiah. And I wonder how many people are discouraged or how many people don't have faith rising in them, knowing that Jesus is supposed to come back, but I don't want to miss the second return of Christ. I want to have my heart ready. I want to be in faith for the return of Christ. Someone say the return of Christ, the return of Christ. So I want to begin this series by looking at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And if you read any commentaries or if you study any scholarly works, most scholars will refer to this as the Olivet Discourse. The reason why it's called the Olivet Discourse is because Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. And you're going to see that in just a moment when we read this passage. So Jesus begins to talk about the end of the age. And I want to set this up for you by letting you know that you can divide the Olivet Discourse, which is Matthew chapter 24. So it's the end times in Jesus' own words. We're going to look at some other passages throughout the Bible as we continue in the series. But I think it's important to listen to the words of Christ about the end of the age. And so Matthew chapter 24 is extremely critical. He's talking about the end times, and it's in his own words. Now, you can divide the Olivet Discourse, you can divide Matthew chapter 24 into three parts. The first one are the signs that were near the end of the age, and that's in Matthew 24, and it's the first 14 verses. That's actually a typo. And I've given the Luke 21 rendition as well. So if you're taking notes and you just want to have it for your reference, you've got Matthew's rendition of it, but then you have Luke's rendition as well. So the signs that were near the end, and then a period of great tribulation, what we would call, and many scholars call, the great tribulation. And that's Matthew 24, 15 to 29. And then the rapture and the return of Christ, which is Matthew 24, 30 to 44. And again, I've given the parallel passage in Luke chapter 21. So Jesus talks about the end of the age, and you can divide the Olivet Discourse into three different sections. So today, I just want to focus on the first part, which is signs that we are near the end. So I want to start with Matthew chapter 24, and I want to start with verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, thus we call it the Olivet Discourse. He's on the Mount of Olives. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So he's going to talk about the signs of the end of the age, signs of his coming. Verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will go cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So Jesus goes to the Father. He says he's coming back, and that's what we started with. And I want you to know Jesus is coming back. But he's sitting with his disciples, says, what's going to be the signs of the end of the age? And then he begins to tell them these things that are happening. So these are significant times. And I want you to know this, that every generation has really thought they were the last generation. And what that tells us is that in a moment in time, God could begin to accelerate all of the pieces to put them together, and Jesus could return at any moment. But let's talk about these times, and you should really take note of some of these things, because these things are happening right now. They're right now happening in our world. So let me just go through them, and I'm not going to take time to look at every single verse, but we just read this pericope. So the first one is this, that many will claim to know the way of salvation. He said many will come and say, "I'm the Christ," or "there's the Christ." There have been so many people that have claimed to know the way to the Lord. You know, there are over 4,000 religions in the world. That's a lot of religions. And all of them claim to be the way, claim to be the answer. And so we are living in a day and age where there is so much confusion because there are so many different religions in the world. So the first sign is this, is that many will claim that they know the way of salvation. We live in a time where there's over 4,000 religions in the world today. Many are claiming that they know the way. The second one is this, that there will be wars and rumors of war. If you were to look it up online, what are the major conflicts in the world? Right now, there are 17 major wars that are taking place in the earth. You don't hear about them, because you only hear about the ones that maybe affect the United States, but there are 17. In order to get into that statistic, it has to be a conflict where more than 1,000 lives have been claimed. So 17 wars, 17 major conflicts are happening right now in the world today. 17 major wars. In that same verse, he said nation rises up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. The reason why he differentiates the two is that when he talks about kingdom against kingdom, he's talking about geopolitical countries that are fighting against each other, but that's different than nation against nation. And so we see more than ever where the enemy is trying to divide ethnicity. This has always been the case, where the enemy has tried to divide people according to their race or according to their ethnicity. If you look at Africa, you'll see the genocide in Rwanda. You'll see the conflict between the Hutus and the Tutsis. I could take you to Asia and give you examples of that. But what about right here in our own nation, where the enemy is trying to cause division between ethnic groups? I say this, let's not allow the devil and let's not allow the world to divide us. Say amen to that. Because the answer is Christ. Say that. The answer is Christ. The answer is Christ. And so the world is confused. The enemy will try to divide nation against nation. Try to make us think that we're different. You're not any different than anybody else. I want you to know people are people. Say amen to that. And in the end, we all have the color blood inside, color red in our blood. Amen. And so the enemy will try to cause nation to divide against nation or kingdom against kingdom. But we are living in that kind of conflict right now. So many will claim to know the way of salvation. Secondly, there'll be wars and rumors of war. There'll be famines and earthquakes. There are so many famines right now that we don't even realize. Do you know that there are 1 billion people in the world? That means 1 out of every 8 that are suffering from hunger and malnutrition. And we don't even realize that. But all you have to do is go to some place in the developing world and you will see how people are suffering, how they need food. People are suffering from hunger and malnutrition. 1 out of every 8 people. I don't know if you realize this, but at least 125 earthquakes occur every year where that result in over 1,000 people being killed. That's how many earthquakes happen every single year. And we don't even think about it. We don't even really realize it. But there are famines and there are earthquakes. And then Jesus talked about diseases and natural disasters. Do you know that the World Health Organization has identified 30,000 different diseases in the world? That's a lot. 30,000 different diseases. And so on a worldwide scale, there are massive amount of sickness, there's massive amount of diseases, and then there's natural disasters. On an average worldwide, each year there are more than 5 hurricanes, at least 2 tsunamis, and over 1,000 tornadoes. That's a tremendous amount of natural disasters. And then Jesus said this, that Christians will be persecuted. We don't even think about that because we live in a nation where we can just worship freely before the Lord. But do you realize that nearly 215 million Christians are facing persecution right now? 215 million. The top 10 countries in the world, this will ring a bell, where Christians are persecuted: North Korea, Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, and Eritrea. These are the top countries in the world where Christians are being persecuted. Now, this statistic, please lean in and listen carefully. Over 90,000 Christians are martyred every single year. Folks, we need to become global Christians. We need to realize what's happening in the world. Over 90,000 are being martyred every single year. Then Jesus said this, that many will turn away from their faith. Do you realize that in the last 50 years, 70% of Christians in America have left their faith? That's why it's so dangerous to send your kid to a secular university, because a lot of them go to secular university and they never come back living for the Lord. But 70%, think about that, in one generation have turned away from following the Lord. It's drastic. It's unbelievable. Many will turn away from their faith, Jesus said. Then he talked about that there would be betrayal and hatred toward each other. You do realize that in many countries, if you become a Christian, you might lose your life. It's against the law to proselytize or to share your faith. And then if you were to come to faith, certain religions, if you come to Christ, they will kill you. There will be an honor killing. There will be, they will disown you as a family member. You might lose your life if you come to Christ in another country. Here's another one Jesus said, there will be false prophets. Think about this. If there's over 4,000 religion, how many false prophets are there? People that are claiming the way, people that are saying. And that doesn't even count the people that claim to be Christians, and yet they are just coming up with all kinds of bizarre doctrine and different things. So the false prophets are everywhere. Then Jesus said this, there would be an increase in wickedness. Just give you an example. In the year 2008, 36% of Americans were in favor of same-sex marriage. So 36%. Okay. As of 2023, that number has jumped to 71%. of Americans in favor of same-sex marriage. Okay, so from 2008 to 2023, it's just become very, very commonplace. Here's the danger. When something becomes accepted culturally, that it can infiltrate the church. It just becomes very commonplace. And then Jesus said this, that Christians will become lukewarm. So for example, 40% now of people who call themselves Christians are in favor of same-sex marriage. Something so blatantly spoken of against in the Bible, now everybody is for that. It's the scenario of if you took a frog and you put that frog in just a warm pot of water and you slowly turned it up and it got hotter and hotter and hotter, that frog would die. But if you just took a frog and put it in boiling water, it would jump out right away. But if you do it slowly, then little by little, it dies. And that's exactly what happens to the church, is little by little, we're desensitized. Little by little, our hearts are hardened. Little by little, we accept what the culture has given us. And so Jesus gives 10 things here in this passage that are signs of the time, significant signs of the time. My brother and sister, I want you to know today, we're living in that right now. So the signs are clear. Jesus is coming back, but he's saying, man, pay attention to the signs because this is what's happening in the world today. We are living in it right now. And so our hearts, we really need to be aware of everything that is going on. So what is our response to some of these things? Well, first, let me just touch on some other passages because I want to corroborate this with some other New Testament passages. And then I'll talk about our response to this. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, if we can pull that up on the screen here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, listen to what Paul says in the first two verses. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron, deceived by demonic teaching. So these are things where things are so clearly against God's word, but their conscience has been seared, just like that frog that goes into a pot of water. Little by little, it's turned up. The sensitivity is gone. And that's exactly what happens to so many Christians. You watch something the first time on TV and it just appalls you. Second time you watch it, you're still a little shocked. Third time, you're getting used to it. Fourth time, you're kind of used to it. You just watch it. We get used to things in our culture, the things that are said. Think about the words that are spoken, the curse words. Even in my generation, 20, 30 years ago, we would have been appalled at some things that were said. But now it's just commonplace in our culture and in our language. The words that people use, the way they curse, the vulgarity that they use, it just becomes commonplace. And so what happens? Their conscience are seared. In other words, there's no sensitivity. They're not sensitive to the things of the Spirit. And my brother and sister, we have to be really, really careful that we don't fall into this trap. These are doctrines of demons. That's what Paul says here. Deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Can I just make a bold statement? And I don't know how you'll feel about it, but I'll just make a bold statement. The fact that people say they can change their gender, that's a doctrine of demons. God created you either male or female. But it's going to become commonplace and accepted because that's the media machine that's making that happen, right? And we love people. If somebody's confused about their gender, I love them and I want to help them be healed and talk to them about that. But I can't compromise what God has said in order to meet them where they're at. No, I can meet them where they're at and love them, but I still know what the truth is. Does that make sense? And so we need to be really, really careful. So things that directly contradict the scripture or that sear people's conscience. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's exactly what's happening in our nation, where people say what is evil is good now, and what is good is evil. So we are made out to be the bad guys because we believe in traditional marriage, or because we believe that God created people male or female. So, they make us sound so terrible. They flipped it around. That's exactly what will happen in the end times. So woe, God says, to those who call evil good and good evil. Listen to this scripture. This is Romans 1, 32, and I don't have time to build it, but you ought to read Romans chapter 1 because he talks about the depravity of man, how people move, they digress into depravity. But listen to Romans 1:32. Although they know God's righteous decree, and those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This is the danger. You can't miss the second part of this verse. See, you can notice that there's sin in the world, but if you approve of what they do or accept what they do and you're giving approval, then you are just as culpable as those individuals. So you can't just approve of what society is saying. You can't just say, oh, that's okay. You have to take a stand for truth. You have to take a stand for what God's word says. So we have to realize that people will be deceived by the demonic. Here's another one, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go to 2 Timothy. People will say they're Christians, but they'll live like the world. People will say that they're Christians, but they'll live like the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then he says, have nothing to do with them. But what does he mean by that? He's not saying that we don't love and that we're not kind to people like that. But he's talking about people that claim to be Christians, but they still act like that. He's saying, you know what? Keep your distance from those kinds of people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. There are so many things happening right now in our nation and in the world today that contradict the Word of God and contradict truth. And God is very clear that there's going to be a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they're not living the life. And so we need to be aware of that. The third one that I want to touch on here is that people will want to listen to teaching that doesn't challenge them to grow. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. So that's exactly what we have happening in the world today. People just listen to the kind of teaching that they want to listen to. In other words, teaching that will endorse their lifestyle, teaching that will approve of their lifestyle, not to be challenged in any way. Listen, if you really want to grow in the Lord, you got to be willing to be challenged once in a while. Say amen to that. And so we see this already, that there are entire churches that have abandoned traditional doctrine and have begun to change things in order to approve of their own lifestyle. So we have entire denominations that are ordaining homosexual pastors, ordaining homosexual ministers, because they've changed the doctrine in order to fit their lifestyle, a very dangerous thing. And so Jesus said that these kind of things would happen in the end times. My brother and sister, we're living in it right now. We are living in it right now. So what's our response during this situation? Go back to Matthew chapter 24. What is our response to all this? The first one is this in verse 13. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Number one, we got to stand firm. You got to stand firm. Say it out loud. I'm going to stand firm. Okay. So as a church, we have to stand firm. We have to stand firm on the doctrines of the faith. We can't compromise those things. We stand firm until the end, and then we'll be saved. So we stand firm. That is very, very important. The second thing is this, is that we have to preach the gospel. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So we keep preaching. We keep sharing good news. We keep sharing the love of Christ. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And so that's exactly what we're doing. Listen to Proverbs 10 and verse 5. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. And so one of the things that we try to do at Freedom is we try to see, where's the harvest? Where's the harvest? Where is God moving? And that's where we're gonna reap the harvest. That's where we're gonna go. That's what we're gonna do. And so this scripture has always meant a lot to me, that I want to be a good son, and wherever there's a harvest, I want to go gather crops there. And Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere, anywhere that you call me to go, anywhere you tell me to go. I'll go halfway around the world to preach the gospel to one person if he tells me. That's spirit-led evangelism. That's being led of the Lord. Lord, where is the harvest? That's a wise son. That's a wise daughter that says, wherever the summer harvest is, that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to go work the harvest. Listen to Revelation 14 and verse 15. Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, here's the amazing thing about the end times. We see all these terrible things that are happening, but at the same time, there's a tremendous move of the Spirit. And we have to look and see, where is the move of the Spirit? And as we see where the harvest is, we pull out our sickle and we begin to work that harvest. We begin to respond to the harvest. We begin to pull in the harvest. And so as you read the book of Revelation, you're going to see there's terrible things happening, but at the same time, there are segments where there's a move of the Holy Spirit, and there's a response to the gospel. And so we have to keep preaching the gospel. This here is probably the most definitive verse in the scripture about the return of Christ. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. And so that's why we support people like the Bonnards, who are supporting 23 indigenous missionaries where there is no testimony at all in those tribes, in those islands of the Philippines. But we support them because they send 33 different indigenous missionaries to preach the gospel so that somebody can come to Christ in those tribes and in those nations. That's what drives us. That's our heart, because we're waiting for the return of Christ. See, I don't misunderstand. I will share the gospel wherever I'm given an opportunity. That's being spirit-led. So today, if I have an open door, I'm gonna share the gospel with someone. But I also know this, that if somebody wants to get saved in America, they can get saved. There's a church on almost every corner. The gospel's on the airwaves. There are people around. If they're really hungry, they're going to find it. But what about those unreached people groups? What about those places where even if even if they did have a desire, it's so much more difficult for them to hear the gospel. And so I want to be part of a movement that says, Lord, how about the unreached? How about those that have never heard the gospel? And so this is our heartbeat. I think you're getting a bit of an idea of why we're driven by missions, why we want to go to the nations, why God has called us to these things. So we have to keep preaching the gospel. So on the one hand, we look at all the signs where terrible things that are happening. But if you'll get the eyes of the Lord, you'll see that, okay, all these things are happening. But in the middle of all that, there's a move of the Spirit, and there's harvest that's ripe. But you got to be Spirit-led and know where the Lord is taking you. And when you're Spirit-led, you're going to see incredible fruitfulness. You're going to see a harvest. But you got to be led of the Holy Spirit. And so God doesn't want you to miss out. You're not going to miss out because you're part of this. But we're going to be led by the Lord and go where He leads us so that we can see the harvest come. Say amen to that. And so we continually preach the gospel. That's why this last time when we were in Kenya, it was just a little something stirring in my spirit to ask Pastor Joseph, can we get into school? That was the Holy Spirit. But yet it ended up being remarkable open door for the gospel. But pay attention to those little things. When the Holy Spirit is asking you to witness, to say something to somebody at work, to look for the opportunity, look for the window, look for what the Lord is doing in those situations. But just that one little sense of my spirit, and so then he began to knock on doors to see what school we could get into. And so when we went to that school, 650 boys packed into this room. I knew when we walked up, because I've been in the East African revival. I've been where the harvest is strong. I've been in the move of the Spirit. And I knew as soon as I walked up, God was going to do something special because I saw the glory. I felt the glory. And when you feel the glory and you see the glory, then you know that God is going to do something, and you move with what He's doing. You move where the cloud is moving. You move where the fire is moving. You just jump into what God is doing, and then you'll begin to see the harvest. You'll begin to see that. And so I want to show this video. Now, when you watch this video, you can't even describe the glory. I hesitate to show the video because when you see it, it's neat, but you're not in there. You can't feel it. You can't feel the glory. You can't experience. But let's put that video up anyway. These are boys. And so the first night, when the glory started moving, they were celebrating. This is the second night after a bunch of them have gotten saved and the Lord is just moving. But just watch these kids. Look at this. Do we have volume? Maybe we don't. You can't even. You can turn it down. Just gives you a feel that if you had 650 boys, over 300 came to Christ, and so a bunch of them were already saved. And this is a celebration afterwards. I mean, remarkable. And yet, I hesitate to show that because being in that and experience God's glory, you're just overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed at what God is doing. And so this is being a good harvester, saying, Lord, where are you moving? And I want to jump in. I want to be a part of that. Don't misunderstand. I'd love for this to happen in America too. Wouldn't it be great? Don't misunderstand. We're going to sow seed and do whatever we can here in the States. But man, if that's happening, why wouldn't we pull the sickle out and just reap them all in? Say amen to that. And so this gives you a feel. Yeah, these boys, and those of you that were there, you could hear a pin drop when I was speaking. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. They were just listening in to every single word. And when we gave the call to say stand up to receive Christ, in fact, we had them stand up. Then Pastor Joseph had them sit all back down and make sure again, no, are you really receiving Christ? Boom, stood up. Just legitimate commitments to Christ. And so just we thank the Lord for that. You know, we really do thank the Lord. Let me just mention Tanzania. You know, the hunger in Tanzania. Every single altar call, just the whole church comes forward, or everybody in the open air practically comes forward. I think there were still some warriors that were in the distance kind of watching. But just the hunger was remarkable. And so what we did was we made these packets of food for the widows, and then Pastor Rita preached to the widows. And this says it all. However many widows were there, we had 80 packets. We had a few others that were extra. And then she says, why wait to receive the Lord? And as she says that, why don't you just receive the Lord now? I'm sitting next to a guy, and this elderly widow stands up, and she just, before the altar call is even given, and she says, I'm running. I'm coming now. I'm running. She's responding to Rita saying, yeah, why would I wait? I'm running. I'm coming now. So she couldn't even finish the altar call. And they came. And you'll see this next week on all the pictures. But I counted 49 that were there. I don't know how many were the first time or how many were recommitments. But just the beauty and the hunger of it all. This is in the open air. And I think we have a video of, sorry for the home style video. Slideshow, if you will, but look at this. I think you can hear them, just the beauty of them praying to receive the Lord. Listen to this.
Thank you for the invitation.
I said,
I know I need you tonight.
Ayo
la
do ayo yera no.
I am a sinner.
Alala imo koni.
And I need Jesus as my Savior.
Please
forgive me for my sins. I want to turn away from my sins.
Are you
not gonna
get the
wrong way in the park? I want to receive you as my Savior.
Are you not gonna
thank you for dying.
I just wanted you to hear them praying across the savannah just to receive Christ. Just so beautiful. And then later we got to baptize people. Folks, the harvest is ripe, but you share in this. We shared in this together. Can you say amen? It's just a beautiful thing. And so we look and see where the harvest is ripe. And I'm so proud of our team. You're going to see pictures next week of just of them just diving in and just praying for people, for just laying hands on them, and just so, so beautiful. I'll never forget that widow. I'm running now. The last thing I just want to say, because we're out of time, is that we have to keep living our daily lives. So one, we have to stand firm. Secondly, we have to preach the gospel. And third, we have to keep living our daily lives. Matthew 24 and verse 36 to 39. Listen to this. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, People were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day the Lord will come. We just have to keep living our daily lives. What Jesus is saying here is that things will be going on as normal, and then he's going to come back, just like that. In Luke 19, verse 13, he says this, occupy or do business until I come. So we keep living our lives. We keep sharing the love of Christ. We keep sharing the gospel. We keep preaching the gospel until the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wonder who would take a stand for the Lord during these times. You know, if you're here today, just right where you're at, with all these signs going on, would you be willing to take a stand for the Lord? For morality? Some are already standing. Would you stand for the Lord? Would you stand? Would you stand for the Lord? Even with all these things going on, would we take a stand for the Lord? And would we continue to preach the gospel? Yeah. Amen.